All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Colossians chapter 2, please. Colossians chapter 2 in the Bibles. And I want to pick it up in chapter 2. I want to read verses 1 through 13 this evening. Colossians chapter 2. You follow along as I read, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them of Laodicea, for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the fullness of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, and lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Did I say Colossians or Galatians? Colossians, all right. Chapter 2, verse 5. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joining and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. And ye have therefore received Christ, as ye have therefore received Christ, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Now watch these next few verses. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye have risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Father, tonight we thank you so much for your word. And tonight I do ask you once again for your help. Lord, I pray that you would loosen my tongue, Father, tonight. Give me clarity of thought. And Lord, fill this place with your spirit. Thank you for meeting with us. May our hearts be open to receive your word, Father. And Lord, tonight you know what we need. And Father, I pray that you would just guide and direct the service, Father, and the message. And Lord, may you use this place, we pray, Father, to be a light to this city. God, may you use us, Father, to be your ambassadors for Christ. God, bless all I ask tonight in your name and pray. Amen. Not too long ago, I listened to Apple Music, and of course, I probably skip as much music as I listen to. You know, in Apple Music, it's kind of like Spotify, I guess. I don't know much about it, but you kind of put in the song that you want to hear, then it plays familiar or similar songs to that. And sometimes they play songs like that's not anywhere near what I put in there. But I heard several months ago, I heard a song being sang. A song is "Complete in Thee." And it kind of had a kind of a worldly, I think, tune, a little bit melody to it, but I liked the words. So I Googled it to see, you know, who wrote it. And when it was written, and my first hunch was it's probably some, you know, contemporary singer that wrote it, but I was surprised to learn that the song was written by a man named Aaron R. Wolfe in 1850. And so it's an old hymn. And it goes like this. A couple of verses go like this. It says, "Complete in thee, no work of mine. My take, dear Lord, the place of thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in thee." The chorus goes, "Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be." The second verse is, I think, is another great verse. "Complete in thee no more shall sin. Thy grace hath conquered. Reign within. Thy voice shall bid the tempter flee, and I shall stand complete in thee." And just some great verses and some great lyrics. And I listened to that song over and over again and have enjoyed that. And as I was wrestling this week with what to preach tonight, I had some other things lined up. In fact, I had some other notes written and just really getting any peace. And so I spent last night and this afternoon looking at Colossians 2 here, where our text tonight in just a little bit will be verse number 10, and ye are complete in him. Colossians is a unique book in that Paul was not the missionary or the pastor that started the church at Colossae. Another man did, but Paul writes to them this letter to correct some dangerous teaching that was creeping in the church. And Colossians deals with the philosophy and the vain deceit of false teachers, and that basically the bottom line was that Christ wasn't enough. Verse number 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. And so we find that the basic teaching was, we'll look at a few things here briefly, but bottom line was they were teaching that Christ was not enough for salvation, that you needed more. We see in that that there was a teaching of Judaism. And we find that in verse number 16 where it talks about, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And so though they knew that Christ had died and was resurrected, but they wanted to impress upon the believers that you had to keep the Old Testament sacraments and laws and the Old Testament holidays and Sabbath days to be saved. You had there was Christ, but they added to it their Old Testament traditions. And so Paul warns them against that. There was also the teaching of mysticism, where they worshipped angels. We see that in verse number 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, treating upon unto the things which he hath not seen. There are those that believe that Christ really wasn't the Messiah or the Son of God, that he was simply a great angel or spiritual being. And so they begin to worship this mysticism. They begin to worship angels and tag that on with Christianity. There was also the teaching of Gnosticism. We find that verse 18 where it says that which he has not seen vainly puffed up his fleshly mind. And so Gnosticism, I don't know a lot about that as in depth and detail, but what my understanding it was basically a worship of knowledge and of enlightenment, and that, again, Christ wasn't all there was to salvation, and that you would find salvation or enlightenment within yourself. And you had to gain this special enlightenment and knowledge. And we find that that is closely connected with Buddhism and Zen, and so they were trying to add to that and add that to salvation. There was also the teaching of asceticism, and we find that in verse number 21, where it says, "Touch not, taste not, handle not," and where verse number 20 says, "Wherefore you be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world. Why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not." And so that teaching is a practice of self-denial. And they're changing from pleasures. They thought that all worldly pleasures, were sin, and that if you abstain from those things, that you could somehow separate your body from your soul and attain salvation or enlightenment self-denial and through self-affliction and those kind of things, through punishing yourself. And so they were saying that Christ was not enough. And of course, we know from the scriptures that he is enough. In fact, we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5, where Paul writes, he says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." And so we find that Christ is sufficient. You know, I think about that this morning as Brother Victor taught on the tribulation and the rapture and he mentioned mid-trib. And I think that a lot of Christians today fall in this trap. By the way, there's nothing new. Things that we see happening today has been around for a long time. They just kind of take their cycles. And this thing about mid-trib, I think that Christians have a hard time believing that we are complete in Christ, and that and they think that there's something that I must do to obtain some kind of special enlightenment or special favor of God or earn some kind of a special place in heaven. And so this mid-trib, oftentimes you talk to them, and they want to be that guy that endures until the end. You know, they want to endure affliction. They want to endure, and if they endure, they can be saved by their works. And, of course, tonight that, we know that's not true. Look with me at chapter 1 and verse number 12 through 14 for a moment. Let me give tonight a few thoughts about Christ is enough. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says here, giving thanks unto the Father. Now watch the verse. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Let me tonight give you a few thoughts. Number one is this: what is man that he should glory in himself? What is man that we should glory in ourselves? What is in man that would equal the glory of God? That's what Paul's writing here. What is in man that would equal the glory of God? What is in you or I tonight that would qualify you or make you fit or meet to inherit the kingdom of heaven to be saved? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing in us. There's nothing that we can do that would equal the glory of God. In fact, we find that unsaved man, according to verse number 13, that unsaved man is under the power of darkness. You see, we know tonight, without going into great detail, that because of Adam's sin in the garden, and because of that, because he died, and because he sinned, he's given every man that sin nature. And so man has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's nothing in man that makes us meet, if you will, proper or qualified for salvation. Not of ourselves. And so man has come short of the glory of God. You see, the heart of man is desperately wicked. Our very core being, they say that man is basically good. Well, that's not true. You just have to read the news a little bit here and there and find out that man is not basically good. Man without Christ is evil. So we find that our heart is desperately wicked. Paul said that in his flesh dwelt no good thing. Not just in his heart, but he said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. Here he thought that because he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees and he kept the law and did all these things, that somehow it made him righteous. But he said, listen, when I realized what the law was there for and it condemned me as a sinner, I realized that in my flesh dwells no good thing. He has a wicked flesh. We find that the Bible said that the spirit of man lusts to envy in James chapter 4, number 5. That it's our very nature, it's our very character. Our spirit lusts to envy. Nothing is ever enough. We always are chasing, if we're not careful, our flesh is chasing after sin. The hands of man are dirty. James says, in fact, he says in the same chapter, that we're to cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Why? Because the deeds of man, our actions, not just our heart and our flesh, but our actions are wicked. What makes a man or a woman become so wicked to take a life of another? What makes a man so wicked to cheat, to commit adultery, to shack up, to fornicate, to steal? What makes a man so wicked? It's our very nature, and so our actions, our deeds are wicked. The tongue of man is full of deadly poison. James reminds us that in James 3:8 it says, but the tongue can no man tame, is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And so not just our heart and our spirit but our flesh, our hands, even our tongue, the tongue of man is wicked. God said, you can't tame it. It's uncontrollable. It's a deadly poison. It's a set on fire of hell. And so in man, we find that he is not meet of himself to inherit salvation. So a preacher, what about my righteousness? What about my good things that I do? What about the things that I do that even the world would say is good? Well, according to the book of Isaiah, even all our righteous before God are as filthy rags. They're as rags that are fit for the dump. They're as rags that we would use to clean out the car or to wash the car and check the oil. They're filthy rags of no value. We see without Christ, we find that we come short of the glory of God. Does not even the heart of man condemn them? Does not even the heart of man shrink before the holiness of God? When we begin to consider who God is and His holiness, does not even our heart condemn us that we are not sufficient of ourselves for salvation? We find that man is not meat of himself. I'm going to use a word that I read here. It's not my own word, but I read it. I'm going to use the word meekness, all right? Number two is this. The meekness to be partakers is given. Look at verse number 12 of chapter 1 again. Giving thanks to the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. The meekness, that word meet, it means to be qualified, properly fit. We find that in the Old Testament with Eve being called Adam's help meet. She was meet to be his wife. She was suitable to be his helper. And so we find here that God, that being meet, having the meekness to be qualified, to be properly fit for salvation, that is given. We were qualified or equipped to be adequate for salvation, not of ourselves. You can try all you want to try and do all the right things and carry the right book and go to the right church and sit in the right pews and do all the right things without Christ. We're not qualified. We're not meet for salvation, but it's been given. What's that mean? Well, it means that salvation, again, is an act of grace. Again, I think that sometimes we've heard that before, but as you talk to people in their daily lives, they have this idea, well, what do I have to do? I want to inherit some kind of special favor of God. My friend, tonight, all favor of God is by His grace. All favor is grace. Everyone gets saved the same way, by the grace of God. It didn't change. God didn't say, okay, in the Old Testament, they'll get saved a certain way. And then under the church age, they'll get saved a certain way. Then in the tribulation period, they'll get saved a certain way. No, it's every generation, every age has been by the grace of God that gives salvation to man. And it's not by works we earn the grace of God. It's by faith we receive the grace of God. So being qualified, being made meet, is by the grace of God. And then I see tonight that number three is this, that faith, the Father is the equipper of our meetness. See that again in verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light. The Father, He is the equipper. My heart this week has been for the services, this for us to glorify and exalt God. He is the equipper. Paul said in 2 Corinthians again that God has made me sufficient. He has equipped me. When it comes to salvation, it's the Father who has equipped us, made us meet to be partakers. And so we owe it all to God. I think that grace makes us a great debtor. Now I know it's free. It's free, but oh grace, how great a debtor I'm constrained to be. We find that tonight that the Father is the equipper of our meekness. Number four tonight, and this is the last point, but it's a long one, so bear with me. Jesus Christ is the completer of our salvation. The Father in His great, listen, by the way, if God desire to destroy man, why would He equip us for salvation? Why would He make us meet to be partakers of the saints in light? You see, it's not ever been in the heart of God to destroy man. God's not here to make your life miserable. God's not here to torture you. It's not in the mind of God, or the heart of God, to send man to hell. God doesn't want that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He didn't make hell for you and I. We know that He made it for the devil and his angels. But God has no choice when a person rejects Christ. He can't let sin into heaven. And so we find that God desires to love man, to fellowship with them, to save them from their sins, to make them meet, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. But Christ is a completer of our salvation. It's because of Christ tonight. And so tonight, we need to glorify God. We are complete, according to Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him. That word complete means full. The fullness. So we are full in Christ, in Him. Now before we get to the main part, is this point, I want to remind you what that word full means, what word complete means. In the earthly ministry of Jesus Christ, we find that He did many miracles. He was a miracle maker, wasn't He not? By the way, you getting saved is a miracle. You going to heaven is a miracle. You being forgiven is a miracle. You being changed is a miracle. You being tonight, you being here, not in hell or not somewhere in a tavern somewhere, and that's a miracle by the grace of God. But that we find that was Jesus Christ, as he did his earthly ministry, that he oftentimes, that he would touch and heal people, right? We never find them limping away half healed, right? He never said, all right, I'm going to get you halfway fixed up. You take care of the rest of your, on your own. But in fact, we find that when the woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of his garments, virtue left Christ and she became healed. And he said, who touched me? And boy, she was a little bit afraid about that, wasn't she? Put on the spot. But finally she said, I touched you, Lord. And told him her dilemma. And Christ said this to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Thy faith hath made thee whole. He didn't say, all right, you're on the way to healing. Go home and take some vitamins and call me in the morning. He didn't say that. He said, thy faith hath made thee whole, complete in thee. We read about in Matthew 12, where the man had a limp or withered arm. And he said to the man, stretch forth thy hand, stretch it forth, and it was restored, not partway. It was restored whole. He didn't ever have another gimp in his arm. It wasn't one of those fake healing services where, you know, you feel real good in the heat of the moment, and then you go home and like, I got the same problem. He didn't wake up the next day with his arm curled back up again and withered. No, he was forevermore whole. We find that the blind man also came to Christ and asked him for his sight. And Christ said to him in Mark 10:52, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Hey, listen, this man, when he was healed, he didn't have to go down to the doctor and get a pair of glasses. He didn't have to go over to Walgreens or Walmart and buy a pair of reading spectacles. You know, check out, am I a plus one or a plus two? No, he was, that very hour, he was made completely whole. I mean, he had 20/20 vision, and he didn't wake up the next morning and have to put eye drops in his eyes to keep his vision. No, he was made completely, entirely whole. He was complete in Christ. He was filled completely. Well, listen, Jesus Christ did all these miracles. They were literal miracles that actually happened, but he did them to show us what he meant about salvation. That when you and I got born again, he said in Colossians 2:10, for you are complete in him. He didn't say you will be complete one day. No, this is a past tense. This is a present condition. You are complete in him. Right now, Ed Mass is complete in Christ. I'm full. I'm completely 100% whole in Christ. Now, I drag this old flesh around with me every day. And this old flesh cannot be saved. But I've been born again. Boy, that spiritual man that Christ has raised from the dead, quickened, and he is completely whole. That means this. Number one is this. In Christ, there is complete salvation. We find that in Colossians chapter 2, verse 11, it says, in whom also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now, by the way, the key of being complete in Christ, being complete, the key is a phrase, in Christ. That's the key tonight. In Christ. In fact, look with me at chapter 1 and verse number 2. It says, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. See, that's the key. When you got born again, you got placed in Christ. Now, in fact, it goes one step farther. Look at Colossians chapter 1, verse number 27. It says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which, now here's the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so here's an amazing thing tonight that we have to wrap our heads around if we can, that when I got saved, I got placed in Christ. That's my position. That's my standing. Ed Mash, the spiritual man, his standing is in Christ. I'm secure. I'm completely saved in Christ. But watch this now. God said this, that Christ is also in me. He's in me. This is what the Jews couldn't understand. This is what the Old Testament saints didn't understand, because in the Old Testament, Christ didn't dwell within the believer. He at times came upon them, the Spirit of God. But now in this New Testament, now in the New Testament, the Spirit of God dwells within us, Christ in you. Boy, I'm complete then. I'm in Christ and He's in me. I am completely saved. I'm completely healed from my sins. So we find that you are in Christ and Christ is in you. And so the key tonight, if you look through the Bible, just now watch, when you read the New Testament, watch how many times the phrase is used, in Christ. In Christ. In Christ, I have to do nothing more for salvation. I'm complete in Him. And so there is complete salvation. The Jews said, listen, you've got to be circumcised. Paul said, you were. In Christ you were. Not with hands, but with the Holy Spirit of God. He cut away your fleshly heart from you and made you a new creature. He said, you have to be baptized. You were baptized. In Christ you were baptized. But you also rose again from the dead in Christ. So he said, listen, all the things, listen, he said, by the way, he said, listen, everything that you have in the Old Testament, they were shadows of the real image. The shadows came first, but then when the New Testament came, Christ, the real image came forth. He said, listen, I am the Passover. I'm the sacrificial lamb. I'm the Lamb of God. And all those things that you did in the Old Testament, they were shadows of me, and now I'm here. And so Paul said, listen, you are circumcised. You are been baptized. You are complete in Christ. Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So we have complete salvation. So we're not required to become Jews in practice, because we're children of God by faith. We find that chapter 1, verse number 14 says that we have redemption through His blood. See, tonight, salvation comes, we're completed in Christ, but He's purchased our redemption with His very own blood. Number two is this, in Christ there is complete salvation, in Christ there is complete forgiveness. Look at chapter 2, verse number 13 again. And you being dead in your sins, that's the natural man, that's the unsaved man. He's a dead man. And dead men can't save themselves. I've been to many funerals, and a dead man never did anything except scare me a time or two. I get real jumpy around dead people. I don't know why, but when I worked at a funeral home down in Missouri, I tell you something. There were times where I would have panic attacks, and I'm not probably say that, but sometimes they'd send me to the morgue to pick up a body, bring it back, and we didn't have a hearse. We had a minivan, a caravan. And so when you push that body in the caravan, the head lays right next to where you're driving. And it never failed. They never asked me to pick up a body in the daytime when it was sunny out. It was always 10 o'clock at night, raining, lightning, storming, every time. And boy, I'd sit there, I'd watch them, I'd drive. I'd keep my eye on that person. All right, you just lay there. I remember I went to this one bomber we have to go to pick up bodies. A man passed away, and I got called, and he said, "Ed, can you go to the embalmers and pick up so and so?" And I said, "Okay." About 9:30 at night, and so I drove out, and the embalmers are never anywhere well lit; they're always off the beaten path somewhere. And so I drove to this little county road and drove back there and picked, backed the van up to the double doors and punched my number in there, walked in there. And of course it's dark in there. And usually there's only one person, there was only one body in there. So I just grabbed the body and go. This time there's like four or five. So now I had to check toe tags, So I'm looking at toe tags and on my back's to the door. And all of a sudden I heard this voice, "What do you want?" Well, a bathroom now. I get real nervous. But then the guy I work for said, "Ed, what are you so afraid about? They can't do anything. They're dead. But they can scare you, Just a dead man can't do anything. Listen, if you're dead in sins, what can you do for yourself to get saved? Nothing. But now watch what he says here. He says, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he, Christ, quickened together with him. Hey, he gave you life. The power is not in the Baptist denomination. The power is not in a preacher. The power is not in the baptismal tank. The power is in Christ Jesus. He and he alone has the power. In him was the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In him we're complete. And so he quickened. He gave life. It says this, having forgiven you all trespasses. You see, tonight reminds you that in Christ we're complete. We're completely forgiven. He didn't say, I'm going to forgive the easy ones. Did he? He said, I'll just pick and choose which one I want to forgive and which ones I want to hold against you for a little while. No, he forgave us. That means he justified us. Doesn't mean that we didn't commit sin. It means I'm going to declare you as if you were not guilty. I'm going to give you my righteousness and take your sin and put it on my account. He justified us. For what reason? To reconcile us to God. Because we can't come to the Father in our sin nature. We can't come half empty or half full. We must come complete. I'm complete in Christ. Completely saved. Listen, if you're completely saved, you can't lose your salvation. Amen. Listen, there's no holes in it. It doesn't leak. There's no holes in salvation. You know, I have Jeremiah's car in my garage. I've been trying to fix it. And when I went to get it the other day, it had 3 flat tires. So I pumped them over there. I put it in my garage. Today it has 2 flat tires. Right? There's a leak somewhere, right? Salvation is not a slow leak. It doesn't depend upon what you do. We're complete in him. We're completely forgiven. Now, every now and then, old smutty-faced devil wants to come by, remind you of your past sins. And boy, there are some times I have to hang my head in shame and say, yes, you're right, I did that. But I'm forgiven. Amen. I'm forgiven. He has cast in the depths of the deepest sea. He has shown up as far as the east from the west. He remembers them no more. I'm completely forgiven, the Bible says. Complete in Christ. I'm not asking God to try to work off my debt to be forgiven. You know, some of us have, you know, house loans and car loans. We have to work to pay them off. It'd be nice if they would say, I'm waiting for Biden to also, you know, not only to forgive student loans, but to, you know, let's forgive mortgages too then. Right? Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. But I don't have to work to pay off my debt that comes to Christ. It's been paid off. We're complete in him. Number 3 is this tonight. In Christ, there is complete victory. Look at verses number 14 and 15 of chapter 2. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us. You see, we were condemned by our flesh, but we were also condemned by the law. What did Christ do? He took it out of the way and nailed it to his cross. Christ took those execution papers and took them with a cross, to the cross with him. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or the Sabbath day, which are the shadows of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let's say something. In Christ I have complete victory. Sin has no more power. Look at chapter 1, verse number 13 again. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Sin has no more power over the believer. We're complete. We're complete in Christ. Complete. That's the crux of the message tonight. Is I want you to walk away tonight thinking, you know what? I know me. I know what I am. And I know that I've sinned. I know I've fallen. I know I make mistakes. I know I can't do them. But I'm complete in Christ. I don't want you to go tonight bragging about how good you are. But how good Christ is. Well, preacher, I've done some good things in my life as a Christian. Thank God for that, but it's because he made you sufficient to do that. Tonight we're going to walk away bragging upon Jesus Christ. Now, what does this mean tonight, this completing Christ? What does this mean for an application tonight? I always try to make application. Now, this is great doctrine tonight, and I hope tonight that you'll take this, and you young folks tonight, you need to get this. Some of you folks tonight that are insecure, you need to get this down in your heart, that you are complete in Him. There's no fine print that says, except for certain cases. No, you are complete in Him. How do you access that? Well, we've already read that in chapter 1, verse number 2. To the saints and faithful brethren in Christ. We find that, verse number 4, since we heard of your faith in Christ, it's faith that you access it by. Now, let me give you tonight applications real quickly here. The first application is this. Jesus Christ is to be preached. This doctrine now motivates the Apostle Paul. Look at chapter 1, verse number 28. It says, whom we preach. Well, he talks about the mystery of the gospel of Christ, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul said this, because of this great doctrine that we are complete in Christ, my heart is to preach that doctrine to every man, that they also may be perfect in Jesus Christ. He preached the gospel. When this doctrine becomes real to us, when it becomes sincere to us, when it becomes our foundation, and it captures our heart, it compels you and I to preach the gospel of Christ, Christ in you, hope of glory. The world tonight doesn't need more education. It needs to be in Christ. We look today at our city. We look at what some people do. The same thing that you would do if you would not be in Christ. Their actions, their lifestyle, their attitudes, their behavior. It's because they're not in Christ. See, Christ cuts across all cultural boundaries. Cuts across all monetary boundaries. He's a savior of all men. And so it compels us tonight that if we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we're complete in Him, Paul's heart was, I want others to be complete in Christ. I want my family to be complete in Christ. I want one day my grandchildren to be complete in Christ. I want my neighbors and my fellow friends to be complete in Christ. And so Christ is to be preached. Number 2 is Christ is to be lived. Look at verse number 6. It says in chapter 2, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. How did you receive Him? By faith. So walk ye in Him. We're to live Christ. We're to walk in Christ. How do we do that? Not trying harder to somehow appease an angry God. Hey, He has been appeased in Christ a long time ago. Amen. He's not mad at you. We've been reconciled to Him. And so we got saved by faith and we live by faith. So that we're rooted and built up in Him. Established in faith as ye have been taught. So Christ is to be lived. In fact, in chapter 3, verse number 1 says, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. And so Christ said this, because of this great doctrine. You see, doctrine. I talking to a man the other day, and he said, you know what? I don't get bogged down in doctrinal issues. I don't teach those things. Well, it's no wonder we have a generation that lives the way they live. Because doctrine is truth. And truth changes the way that I live. It changes my heart, my mindset, my viewpoint. Why do you view the things of the world the way you do? Because of doctrine. Why can we say tonight that being a sodomite is wrong? Because you hate them? No, because of what the Word of God says. They're abomination. Why do we stand today strong and proud to say, hey, abortion is wrong. Life begins at conception. No man should take the life of another. Why? That's because of the viewpoint of the Word of God. Why do I get behind the pulpit tonight and preach against divorce? That's not very popular. Well, God's against divorce. So our doctrine changes our viewpoint, but it changes our life as well. And he says, listen, if you have received Christ, if you're risen with Him, then walk in Him, live for Him, love Him. live by faith as you have been received, as you receive Christ by faith. Then lastly tonight is this. Christ is to be, this doctrine makes Christ to be preached. It makes him to be lived for, but also more as important as the other two, he is to be worshipped. Now, I find something very interesting in this chapter. I'm going to read to you these verses. Look at chapter 1, verse number 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 7. Rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Look at chapter 3, verse number 15. The peace of God, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Look at chapter 3, verse number 17. Whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God and the Father by him. We see in chapter 4, verse number 2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. What brings about this heart of thanksgiving in a man? When we realize that in me, there's nothing that equals the glory of God. I am not meet of myself to inherit salvation. And without Christ, I'm going to go to a Christless hell. This is not just being a separation. Some folks say, well, that's just being separated from God. It's a separation from Christ. No, that is, but there's more to it. It's eternal torment in hell where the flame dieth, where there's a flame that does not ever lose its heat. And there's a worm that dies not, the Bible says. It's just tragic. There's no, people will sometimes say, well, I'm going to go to hell before my friends. We're going to party down there. There's no party in hell. There are no friends in hell. You'll be alone. You're going to be alone in your torment. So when I realized that that was my destination, but Christ came and made the difference. That my faith in the Father has made me meet. He has equipped me. He has qualified me for salvation. And I'm complete in Christ Jesus. When I give that into my heart, I mean, only let it sink in that I'm not as good as I think I was. I'm not all that. And if I had stayed before Christ in my own nature, my own power, he would say to me, depart me, for I never knew you. But because of salvation, because of Christ being completed in him, I'm his child. I've been adopted. Hey, I've been justified. And I've been sanctified. And one day before God, I'll be glorified. Well, that ought to give it a heart of worship. Where you and I can say, thank, abound in thanksgiving. You know, I know it's not Thanksgiving time, but the happiest Christians are those who are thankful. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is about today's generation and today's people. We think we have the right to complain about everything, don't we? We come to the church house, and if the music's not right, rah, rah, rah. If it's not hot enough, cold enough, rah, rah, rah. You know, somebody said something from the pulpit. You know, we're looking for ways to be offended, looking for ways to be unthankful. I mean, we go home and gripe about this thing and that thing. For one, I live way better than my grandparents ever thought about living. Even with the bills I have to pay. I'm going to say, you know, I think I'm going to tell my wife, we're going to just get a doctor to come live with us. I think it would be cheaper to have a doctor come live in our house than to pay Finley and Mercy. But even with all the things that we deal with, I think tonight my heart breaks when I think, God, let me be born in America, not in Ukraine.
Amen.
I'm not somewhere shut up in an apartment that's way too small in China, begging for food from somebody as I watch my children and my family die of starvation. Man, we are really, as Americans, really spoiled. And God wants us not to be thankful. You don't make for a better church, not a better pastor, which that would help at times, but if all of us from the pulpit to the pew come to church and be thankful. When the hymns our song, just be thankful that we can sing about being complete in Him. And the preaching's being preached, yeah, sometimes, and I know this morning, I don't know about you, but this morning was rough for me. It seemed like I chugged uphill the whole time. And if you watch me, if you know me enough, when I start getting a little nervous and I realize that I'm making mistakes, well, I get more nervous and it makes it worse for me and I struggle a little bit. But you know what? We just need to be thankful tonight for God's Word. Yeah, there's some things our church doesn't have, but it could be a lot worse. We got some good things going on in our church. God's been good to us. And by the way, when did God ever say that if you'll just serve me, I'll make you have a great big church and great big facilities. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. That's the wrong mindset to have. It's not about having great big facilities and great big membership. It's about being faithful to God Almighty. Being thankful. Tonight, can I ask you a question this evening? Are you complete? Are you complete in Christ? One may say, well, preacher, I'm pretty good. And I've been a pretty good chap all my life. I've tried to obey my parents and do right. I've tried to live right and do the right thing and be nice to people and pay my bills and be kind to my family. May I remind you what Christ said to the Pharisees? Matthew 21:31. He said to them, verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Listen, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, the scribes of the Pharisees, he said in his word, hey, you righteous man, the harlots and the publicans get in heaven before you will. Why? Because their faith, they're complete in Christ. So tonight, unless you think tonight that you're pretty good, you're not pretty good. You need to get saved. Being born in the Baptist church or to a Baptist family doesn't make you a Christian tonight. Years ago, I was talking to a man named Dave, and I used to work with him, and I asked Dave one day about being saved, about being born again. And he said, listen, my parents were Christians. I was born a Christian. I said, Dave, you've got to be born again. Born again. Tonight, can I ask you a question? Maybe you say, preacher, I don't want to even think about being complete in Christ. I don't want to spend time with it. I don't want to consider it. I'm going to tell you something tonight. If your heart condemns you, you're halfway there. And I can't help tonight but think that sometimes, well, today, they shun the gospel because their very heart condemns them that they are not complete. They are not whole. So rather than deal with the Savior and get things right, they'll plunge off into their sin and die and go to hell. Tonight, if you've not been saved, don't put it off. Don't say, oh, I'll think about it some other time. Tonight, if your heart's condemning you, you're almost there. Let the Spirit of God work in your heart tonight and joy to Christ. And Christian tonight, you say, preacher, I know I'm complete in Christ. Let's live that way. Don't let the devil pull you back in that old lifestyle and that old frame of mind. Don't let him mess you up with doubts and confusion and frustration. Tonight, if you're confused, that's not from God. If you live in tight and doubt, well, I'm not sure. That's not from God. God wants to give you confidence. God gives us a mind that's of power. How's that verse go? Not gives us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That's from God. So tonight, I thank God tonight. My heart tonight was to magnify Him, that ye are complete in Him. Complete in Thee, no work of mine may take, dear Lord, the place of Thine. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and I am now complete in Thee. Yea, justified, O blessed thought, and sanctified, salvation wrought. Thy blood hath pardon bought for me, and glorified I too shall be. Lord, tonight we come to You in thanksgiving. We so thankful tonight for Your precious and holy Word, that, dear God, tonight we as people, frail and fickle, Father, by faith we can be complete in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I pray that You'd be with the one tonight that perhaps would be here that's not saved. May tonight they have come to know You as their Savior. Be with the heart of the Christian tonight who's troubled and worried and frets about salvation. Lord, tonight may Your Word reveal to them that they are complete, made whole in Thee, completely saved, completely forgiven, in complete victory. Thank You, dear Lord, tonight for Your precious Word. We ask and pray. Amen.